Turn off your other podcasts and listen to this one to achieve DFS glory. DG goes past the stat sheets and game logs to bring you a diverse player pool, too, with his guidance to choose your own path to success with consistent and successful strategies. Also, the judge offers better dating strategies than Tinder. As a single man, I can't wait for the large slates, so I know the best places in the world to find my ideal mate. You have many choices in DFS those nights, just like the large amounts of singles to choose from in Melbourne, unlike those desperate three-game nights where you're stuck pulling a coyote ugly in Hoboken. Enter the chambers and win big, then use that money and find love in Paris. Well, thank you, Philophonic 28, for that lovely review. But hey, I have lots of friends in Hoboken, man. I'm telling you, there's not only coyote uglies in Hoboken. Hoboken is actually it's a very underrated place to find love and some attractive lady friends and some attractive guys. So I like everything you said there, except for that little shot at Hoboken. Although I got to admit, going to Jersey, it is a pain in the you-know-what. Anyway, it's Friday. We made it to the weekend. Let's start the freaking show.
Court is now in session.
Damn.
Yeah. This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, March 17th, 2017. An 8-game slate on tap. So normally on Friday, we get sometimes 11, 12, you know, these mammoth, overwhelming slates. This is a very perfectly beautiful 8-game slate. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. And like that beautiful review just said, you know, the slate dictates what we do. This show's not only about giving you players. This is not the Beeler Booker show. And by the way, the last two shows, I got to admit, they've been pretty freaking boring. Sometimes I will go critique my own shows. And if I think they sound too much like the other crap out there, I will hit myself with the gavel. So I gave myself a little scolding because it was just too blah. It was too plain. There was no innovation the last couple of shows. Now some nights, because it's, you know, currently it's 3:40 in the morning, it can be tough to come up with creative ideas when my brain's only working like 85% capacity. But still, you know, feel free to yell at me if I give you guys a Beeler Booker show, which is basically a show with who do we like, Beeler Booker, which obviously choosing the players is very important. It's probably the main reason why you're here. But let's have some fun also. So we don't only want to have a Beeler Booker show. Who should we play? Every show does that. Which leads me into this. So it's an 8-game slate. So what city can we be in on this slate? Well, now, as I was saying, normally on Fridays we get very large slates. So lots of options. Like my good friend who wrote that review just said, maybe we're in Melbourne or Melbourne. I still do not know how to pronounce it. I guess Americans just can never pronounce it with our accents, so that sucks. But I guess I can say Australia or Paris. Normally we're in a glorious city like that, New York, where I'm from. Lots of lovely ladies here, and the weather's going to change. And man, it's going to be great to walk outside and see everyone wearing these little dresses, or if you're a woman, whatever you want to see a guy wearing. But this is only an 8-game slate, so we're not in a huge city, and it's also spring break. If you haven't realized, maybe you guys are young enough. Maybe a lot of you guys are in college. A lot of DFS players, a ton are still in college. You guys are young, man. And I'm also very upset because when I was in college, I never took advantage. I never went on spring break ever in my entire life. Maybe I should still do that. Now I'd be like a creepy older guy doing it. But still, I never did it. I wonder why. I never studied abroad either. Two things I do regret. You should do both those things if you're still in college. But on this slate, I feel like, you know what? Let's do a spring break destination city. How about that? Because on 8-game slates, we're still going to get some options. But we're probably going to be drunk if we're on spring break. So, you know, we might not make the best options either. So I'm going to give you a list of the top – let's see. It's the top 8 – spring break destinations with a kick, with a caveat, because normally if this was like an 11, 12 game slate, we'd go somewhere super exotic, right, on this spring break extravaganza. But it's only an 8-game slate, so we can't go anywhere. It has to be a best cheap spring break destination. Ah, I fooled you. See, it's cheap, so we have to be frugal with our money. It's tough these days. Maybe someone's been on a bad bender in DFS. So it's a cheap, best cheap spring break destinations. These are the top ones. We either can be in Myrtle Beach. No, I don't feel like going to Myrtle Beach. I don't want to go to South Carolina. Daytona. That sounds too much like a NASCAR thing. So no, we're staying away from Daytona. Cancun. Nah, everyone goes to Cancun. Puerto Rico. Maybe. Nashville. Nashville, Tennessee, huh? That's a little intriguing to the judge. I mean, I think – I don't know. I don't know how I would do in the South. I might get beat up, so I'm not too much of a fan of that, but maybe. Punta Cana. I don't even know where the hell that is. I guess it's in the Caribbean. San Diego. Or this is going to be the winner. We are in South Padre Island, which I've never heard of. But it sounds somewhat luxurious, right? So hotels offering deals for about $50 a night, and you have DJs and celebrities holding court at nightclubs. So that's great. So it's cheap. We can get some celebrities, get some nightclubs, some DJs. So it's also only 30 miles from the Mexican border. So plenty of sunshine without leaving the country. So sign me up. That's where we are on this slate. The slate that dictates what we do. We're in South Padre Island. Glorious. All right. With that said, before we get into the hearts of the show, I mean, man, I do hard research. Instead of sleeping, I'm studying, you know, top spring break destinations. And later we'll get to – I also was researching the top rides at Magic Mountain, because we always talk about, you know, which players are at Magic Mountain. I need a better visual. We need to figure out exactly what ride are we waiting for. So I have about eight or nine rides, and I will let you guys decide which ride we're all on at Magic Mountain. There's some glorious ones. And also, if you Google like Magic Mountain rides, like I never realized this. Nowadays, you can do like a POV, like basically YouTube video of every ride. So it's basically like you're going on the rides. Some of them are really sweet. So some really cool rides. I've been to a theme park in like 10 years, so I would have no idea what these are. All right, though. So even though we're in this glorious island, 30 miles off of Mexico, we still have internet service. So do three things. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. I want to lead off the show reading those glorious reviews. So get creative. And if you don't want to get creative, just leave a quick review saying, I like the judge, 5 stars. And that's fine too. But reviews really do help. I'm telling you, little stuff like that, it helps. So rate, review, subscribe. Also, please retweet when I tweet out the link to the show. Retweet it to the world. Let us continue to grow the show these last 15, 20, you know, games of the NBA season. And the first round of the playoffs is going to be awesome as well. Second round is still fun to play DFS NBA as well. You know, we'll see. If the show continues to grow, maybe the judge sticks around for baseball. We'll see. I don't know. Or I just run away and hide. Similar to my boy, what's his name? The podcast, Missing Richard Simmons. Man, I'm telling you, late at night, man, my brain does not function at 100% capacity. So that's two, retweet. And number three, download the app Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFB. POD. Let's get some new people downloading that app. It's a lot of fun. It's just snake draft. You choose 5 players, 2 guards, 2 forwards, 1 center. It takes like a minute. That's a lot of fun. So if you download it and you can't find out where to put the promo code, just let me know your tweet at me at Daniel A. Green 1. Let me know your username on the app and you'll get 100% deposit bonus. And the promo again is DFB POD, which stands for Daily Fantasy Basketball Pod. All right, so where are we? So remember, so we are still going to – now, the real-life NCAA tournament kicked off, which I don't know if – I really didn't watch much of. The only thing I really truly watched was my own team, Wisconsin, which played late at night. It was a 9:30 Eastern game. So I watched that. I watched the second half of that game. I have not watched a lot of Wisconsin this year, even though that's my school. And then they did squeak out a win against Virginia Tech. And I think now that they play the one seed, Villanova – and I think, as I mentioned like last couple of shows, I'm not a big fan of college basketball. So I think Wisconsin finished like second in the Big Ten. So I don't know how they're only an 8 seed, which seems low to me. So that'll be fun to watch them play the 1 seed. I think Villanova won the whole thing last year, right? So, I mean, that should be a tough game. But what's the thing about Wisconsin? They can beat anyone. I mean, now ultimately, Wisconsin, they will always we'll always choke. So we will never win the whole thing. But that was fun. So hopefully you guys you know, if you're doing all your brackets, you're having your fun, there's tons of basketball on, there's college, NBA. So it was a really fun day to watch basketball. And but we are doing the Judges Chambers head-to-head NCAA-style bracket that is still going off. That's going to kick off 1 week from yesterday, March 23rd. Remember, if you want to play in the head-to-head Judges Chambers, all you need to do, three steps. You have to follow at DG Courtroom on Twitter. Don't follow me. I mean, obviously, hopefully, if you're not following me, I will find you and hunt you down, take my gavel and hit you upside the head. Gently. But I created a special Twitter handle for this contest, at DG Courtroom. Also, tweet what head-to-head contest you want to play in. Do you want to play the FanDuel or DraftKings? And then tweet your username for either FanDuel or DraftKings. So you probably have until the end of the weekend to do that. And then starting Monday, I'm going to start compiling the brackets. And then we'll go from there. And on Monday's show, I will tell you about payment and all the rest of the details regarding the brackets. It's going to be a lot of fun, though. I'm looking forward to it. And remember, as I keep telling you, head-to-head is a much different skill than playing regular chambers, which is more of a tournament contest. Cash games, head-to-head, it's a different skill. And if you do consultation with me, you know, if you've been playing DFS this year and you've only been playing GPPs or only head-to-heads or only one thing, shame on you. You need to diversify. Think of it like your 401k. You need to diversify your portfolio. You should be experimenting playing all kinds of contests to figure out what your strength is. And whatever your strength is in DFS, that's where you put your most money, right? Because you want to make money. If you're not a good tournament player, don't spend all your money playing tournaments. It makes sense to put most of your money into playing cash games or head-to-heads. And conversely, if you're not great at building cash game lineups, then maybe you should be playing more of the single-entry tournaments, maybe even the multi-entry tournaments, but that's a whole different deal because you know my feelings on the multi-entry tournaments. All right, so chambers, regular chambers, which we had on Thursday. We had only two of them on FanDuel. We had one on DraftKings. On FanDuel, we had YJack 78, scored a 319.6. And so it wasn't a really high-scoring night overall. It was a lot of funky, weird, bizarre things were happening on the court. Really, no single player went nuts. You had a bunch of guys played well. You had guys like Will Barton go nuts. He's kind of a mid-price guy. But really none of the stars hit 6-7 times their salary. Westbrook was good. LeBron was good. Jokic was good. But no one was extraordinary. So the scores were not super high. And then Justin P94 also took down one of the chambers on FanDuel. So congrats to you guys. On DraftKings, Call 44. I feel like this guy's at the top of the leaderboard all the time. Call 44, what's your Twitter handle? This guy's really good on DraftKings. 321.5. So monster score for DraftKings. So remember, only eight players. So he had higher scores than the FanDuel chamber score tonight with one less player. That's pretty amazing. Bear Down BJ took second. And then Wazzy the Guru DK took third. So congrats to all of you guys in Chambers land today. Let's get to the Emmy nominated segment. When are the Emmys? Did I miss them already? Were they like in February? I guess so. We won't find out if it's going to win the Emmy until next year. That's going to be a long wait. The Emmy nominated segment, Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. So yesterday I mentioned how, to me, I guess maybe it's just most of my lineups are a lot of dream lovers. I had a good night yesterday. Tonight it broke mostly even, so probably more dream killers than dream lovers, quite honestly. I was on the right guys, but sadly they were not in the right lineup. And as all you guys know, you can be on the right guys. If you don't have them in the same lineup, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It probably just pisses you off more because you got to put all the pieces of the puzzle together in the right lineup. If you're one or two players off, that's everything. That basically can mean you don't even cash. So yeah, dream killers. Let's start with two teams. Orlando. How sick are you guys of playing Orlando guys? Because I'm just about done. And when I say done, I mean I will probably play them on Friday. I'm not done. That's the thing. In DFS, you can never have black and white thinking. It was a test. I was testing you. Do not be tricked by that. No black and white thinking in DFS. But I am getting severely, really freaking annoyed at playing these Orlando guys. These bums, these guys are just so freaking sickening. Playing Golden State, every other team gets up for the challenge against Golden State. Does Orlando? Nope. They got blown out so fast. Literally, I think I was watching the Wisconsin game at that point. I flipped the channel back. Orlando, within the first quarter, they're down 20. It's just They're just sickening. And of course, like Evan Fournier and Terrence Ross combined like zero FanDuel. I think after the first 6 minutes, they were combined negative one FanDuel points. I think total, they each ended up like 10 FanDuel points for the game, if that. Disgusting. Aaron Gordon was a dream killer as well. Vucevic, not even a good game, even though Golden State can't defend bigs. So everyone from Orlando was a dream killer to dud. Elfrid Payton actually played well, but just didn't get enough minutes because Orlando got blown out. So just total dream killer for Orlando. Also the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks should be a D-League team. They've lost to Brooklyn now twice in the last 5 days. How is that even possible? I mean, the one thing you have to admire about Brooklyn, we make fun of Tin Man and all these guys who have no heart, and you know, like Orlando, Brooklyn, man, they're in like every game and they play super hard. They don't have a lot of talent, and even the guys who have talent don't even play a lot of minutes. You got to give Brooklyn credit what they've done this year. I've watched so many of their games, and I'm always astonished because they're in every game, even though Atkinson has a ridiculous, absurd rotation. He doesn't play LeVert and Hollis Jefferson enough minutes. Lin's been out the whole year, but they play hard. I mean, what about the Knicks? Just an utter disgraceful performance. Now, the thing about them, and Porzingis was out. So which guy became super chalky on this slate? It was sickening how chalky he became. And I fell for it too, man, because I want to attack Brooklyn, especially I want to attack Brook Lopez because he's allergic to rebounding. That's Hernan Gomez. There were two Hernan Gomez's in play. And if you play the Denver one, he was better than the one from the Knicks. So it was painful. He was in foul trouble. He didn't play many minutes. Of course, Kyle O'Quinn comes in and mops up and does really well because it's Brooklyn. If you can stay on the court, you're going to put up a big number. Brooklyn plays at such a fast pace. But Hernan Gomez, man, was he a soul crusher. All you had to do, if you just pivoted off of Hernan Gomez and played Plumlee, who was basically $200 cheaper, you could have won all the money. Or you paid up a little bit and played Gobert. I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, I played him on Tuesday, on Wednesday I played him. I can't remember now. It was Wednesday. And he was 0.07% owned. So even on Thursday, and on Wednesday he was good. He gave me like 35 FanDuel points, which was totally fine. I was able to make some good money in all of his lineups. He didn't crush it. But on Thursday against the Cavs, I mentioned yesterday on the podcast, Cleveland cannot rebound these days. So he was a good play. He was like 3-5% owned. It was crazy. And he put up 50 FanDuel points and it was the key to winning every big GPP. So hopefully you listened to me and played some Gobert. I had him, but unfortunately in the wrong lineups. But Hernan Gomez was dreadful. Carmelo wasn't even that good, but he jacked up enough shots because that's what he does. He was actually in some winning lineups, even though he only had like 32 or 34 FanDuel points. Also, Carmelo was better than Gordon Hayward. So that was something. At least if you played Melo, you still could have made some good money. Derrick Rose should be locked up in prison for his NBA performance, on-court performance and off-court. He was disgusting again. So the Knicks, dream killers. Also, the guy who became super chalky on this slate, besides Hernan Gomez, the guy who was Mr. Chalk on this slate was Mo Spates. But we should just call him No Spates. I fell for this one too. I really did think he's going to get enough minutes where he would be in the winning GPP lineups. Now, I've watched him play enough where I was tweeting out, man, one, I don't think he's in good enough shape to play a ton of minutes. Two, he's never played a ton of minutes. Even when Golden State would be banged up last year, he's always a role guy. So he would never really see more than 20 minutes. So I still thought just because Brandon Bass hasn't played the entire freaking year, that Mo Spates would somehow play 28 minutes. But nope. Sure as hell didn't happen. He played 15 minutes. If you watch the game, it's just defensively, he shouldn't be playing in the NBA. He's not an NBA player defensively. He was born to be, 6'10" tall. But like, I'm not sure if he just doesn't have the quickness, athletic ability or he's just lazy. I don't know which one it is. But defensively on the court, he had no business being, especially against Denver, who you're talking every position there. I mean, they have so much just talent, especially offensive talent. He was just overmatched, especially guarding Jokic, just guarding anyone from that team in a fast-paced game. So he didn't see much time at all. And Brandon Bass played like 24 minutes. And the one thing, Brandon Bass, you can make fun of him, but he won me a GPP like 2 years ago, and he's a professional NBA player. Like, he comes in, he plays super hard, he plays defense, And that's what Doc Rivers went to try to win that game tonight. And so if you hopefully you played a little Brandon Bass, because that did work out. But if you were like me, you probably played a lot of no mo Spates. And he was an absolute freaking soul crusher. Now, because he was so high owned, you still could make some money. But it was hard to take down a tournament if you played no Spates. Jesus Christ, he's so bad at basketball. It's just disgusting. God, I'm mad at myself. I blame myself. Because I think I had about 90% no Spates, and then I had 10% of Brandon Bass. Even though I was doubting it all day. Also, I mean, I tweeted out also, I don't trust any of the veteran Clippers like Jamal Crawford. It was hard to envision them staying with Denver without Jordan and Blake Griffin. So that's kind of what happened. Denver kind of blew them out. Clippers made a nice little comeback. Somewhat in the third or fourth to make it somewhat competitive. You know, but Jamal Crawford did not have a good game either. Gordon Hayward from that Cleveland game, he was a good play going into it. I thought playing way up in pace against LeBron, who doesn't play any defense, Cleveland was smart. A lot of the game that I watched, they had Shumpert on Gordon Hayward. LeBron wasn't even defending him. So the Cavs are well aware LeBron wants no part of playing defense. And, you know, a big portion of that game, Gordon Hayward was being defended by other guys. So he put up an absolute dud. It was a shame. He crapped the bed. You think he would have been pumped up to play Cleveland. It just didn't work out. George Hill, if you've tried to play some George Hill in that game as well, didn't work out either. So just really disgusting, those two guys. Joe Ingles was pretty good if you played him. Joe Johnson was okay, but not Gordon Hayward and George Hill were just ass. And Gobert was phenomenal, but George Hill and Gordon Hayward were disgusting. Dennis Schroeder, man, he's so bad defensively. Mike Conley was dancing circles around him on a back-to-back. He basically got benched, he was not shooting the ball well. So if Dennis Schroeder is not going to play good defense and he's not shooting the ball well, he kind of got benched. So he didn't play a ton of minutes, and it was not a good night to play him. Westbrook, I have him down as a dream killer because he's just too good. I'm blaming him because he was too good. He played so well. The OKC was able to blow out Toronto. We needed that game to stay close. Westbrook had 60 Fando points in three quarters, and he was on his way to giving you like 80 or 75, something like that. He was phenomenal. And he had played a bad first quarter. So really the second and third quarter, he put up like 50, 60 Fando points. He was tremendous. But they were up by 30 going into the fourth quarter. It was just a shame. So basically, if you ended up playing like LeBron over him, LeBron ended up being a better play because LeBron ended up with like 54 Fando points, and Westbrook was like, you know, what, $3,000 more expensive. But yeah, I mean, and Toronto just stinks right now. Without Kyle Lowry, they're an absolute disaster. Plus Dwayne Casey doesn't play their second best player, which is Valanciunas. Serge Ibaka, yeah, keep playing Serge Ibaka at the five, Dwayne Casey, see how that goes. Dwayne Casey is such a buffoon. How is that guy an NBA coach? And also, Toronto has like the smartest GM in the NBA. Like, why is that guy an NBA coach? Like, get rid of that guy. Although I think like the guys who run the Toronto Raptors podcast, I should have them on the show because they're actually big fans of Dwayne Casey, and I just don't understand. They run the podcast on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, I don't know how you could be a Dwayne Casey fan. Dream Lovers. Yeah, I mean the two guys who were the key to victory tonight were Will Barton and Gobert. Now Gobert was like 3 to 5% owned, and Will Barton, something smells here. He was 44% owned in the Slam, and like one show. I mean, I could take you. I should take you guys behind the scenes of what goes on with some of the guys at hashtag RotoTrash and a lot of the other professionals. How there's so much collusion going on. You know, everyone's basically a lot of the guys are doing this for a living. They pool all their money together. So they're basically, they're all playing as a team. I'd say about half the lineups in the Slam are basically, it's guys who are playing as a team, which is pretty disgusting and deflating when you really think about it. If you want to, one show maybe when it's a small slate, I can go into in detail what goes on. I was actually this year, I could have been a part of one of those smaller teams to do that. But I felt like, with the podcast and everything, that goes against everything that I talk about on the show. So just, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But honestly, I probably could have made a hell of a lot of money. So maybe next year, if there's no Judge podcast, I'm doing something like that. But so, I mean, like, they were all high on a lot of my friends who do this professionally, they were all high on Will Barton. And he ended up being 44% owned, which on a, it was only a 6-game slate, but that's too high for him to be owned. That something smells there, and that's all I'm going to say about that. He was great though. 35. He had a career high 35 actual points, and you know, and when he gets it going, Denver runs plays for him and just lets him shoot all he wants. And it's also frustrating because Gary Harris, who has cost me a ton of money this year, either when I play him he sucks, and then when I don't play him he goes off. It was one of those nights where he played 41 minutes and took 9 shots. Like Gary Harris to me is the most, one of the most perplexing guys like in the NBA, because some days he looks so aggressive and then other days he stands in a corner and doesn't shoot at all. I mean, he let Will Barton, Jokic, Plumlee, everyone else shoot. I mean, remember Gallo and Chandler were out. So the usage was there for Gary Harris and he just wanted no part of it. And you know, I can't tell if he's selfless and I should be, wow, that's a great teammate, or I should be angry at him. He's super frustrating. So if you played Gary Harris over Barton, you know, you probably were pretty pissed. I had about equal exposure to both, but yeah, it was Gary Harris did not, 9 shots, not going to do it. 41 minutes. The minutes were amazing. I mentioned Gobert. I mean, just a beast. Cleveland just cannot rebound. Triscuit is old. He's slow. He's dating a Kardashian. Enough said. And he's stale. He's whole wheat. He's a cracker. He's a Triscuit cracker. So Gobert just smashed. And the thing about Gobert, he's a good he's become like a European. He is European, right? He's French. I mean, he's a good passer. He's becoming more skilled on the offensive end too. So if he can just give you like 10 actual points and then maybe a couple assists to go with his like 15 rebounds and 3-4 blocks, he could be putting up monster lines. And no one plays him. No one ever plays him except me. Hopefully now you guys. Conley was great again. The Dennis Schroeder defense, it's so atrocious. So back-to-back nights, Conley's been great. Yeah, he was in a lot of winning GPP lineups, even though he only had like 43 fandom points because no other point guard went nuts. Conley, you know, that was good enough to take down tournaments. Corey Joseph was the one guy for Toronto who put up a good line. It wasn't great, but still he's pretty cheap. So yeah, I think he had like 25 fandom points. I saw him in some winning tournament lineups. LeBron, I mentioned him. LeBron actually played like crap. If you watch that game through the first 3 quarters, he was abysmal. He was on the verge of being a soul crusher. And then the fourth quarter, he single-handedly won that game. I watched Kawhi play, and I'm like, Kawhi should be the MVP. And today I watched LeBron play, I'm like, LeBron should be the MVP. But then again, you can make a case for Westbrook as well. I do not want Cheeto Face to win the MVP just because I hate watching Cheeto Face Harden play. But LeBron, Kawhi, and Westbrook, man, they are so fun to watch. And LeBron, the fourth quarter was just amazing. If you want to just watch like a – you're like a high school coach and you want to just teach guys how to play, just watch that fourth quarter by LeBron. On yesterday's podcast, I don't know if you guys remember, I said that there's a guy I never, ever play, ever. I don't play Dirk. Dallas didn't play in this slate. I mentioned Iguodala, right? I said, I don't play Iguodala. I'm just not going to do it. What do? Put up like 28 Fando points. I saw him in like a lot of winning GPP lineups. Now, why Iguodala got pumped up to play Orlando, I don't know, but he did. So if you played Iggy, he was like 4% owned, I think. But yeah, I think he was in the winning slam lineup. Go figure. So was Jamichael Green. I mean, Jamichael Green, he used to start for Memphis. Memphis has been doing some weird things with their starting lineup. Now he's been coming off the bench. He's 3.9K on FanDuel. He had a really good game. I didn't understand why they stopped starting him. When I watch him play, he was pretty good a lot of games. He's not supremely like talented at any one thing, but he does a lot of he does a lot of things just like good, but not just not excellent. But Jamichael Green was in a lot of winning lineups. He's also like less than 5% owned. And again, that's what I tell. I always tell you guys that, right? If you want to take down a tournament, especially a larger one like the Slam, you need 2 to 3 guys less than 10% owned. After you build every lineup, if you're not going back and looking at that lineup and saying to yourself, okay, which guy, how am I going to be different? How am I going to differentiate, especially on a small slate, 5-6 game slate, like it was Thursday, you can't take down a tournament. And I know a lot of you are putting in lineups that have no shot to take down tournaments. The guys like Jamichael Green, Iguodala, Gobert, they were in all the winning GPP lineups. All those guys were like less than 5% owned. Jeremy Lin was good again. He was much better than Derrick Rose. Plumlee, everyone played Hernan Gomez, but Plumlee was the much, 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 much better play. 10 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks. Man, he was cheaper too. Oh, that's frustrating. J.J. Redick was, I guess, the only Clipper who I think did well. Chris Paul did mediocre. Hollis Jefferson was good for Brooklyn as well. And that's about it. All right, let's talk about injuries. All right, injuries. So there's not a lot of injuries, but there's big names. So there's already open. It's a lot of value is going to be opened up on this slate. So it's going to be a fun slate to play. Cameron Payne looks like he's going to be out for Chicago, but that's not the big one for the Bulls. The big one is, as much as it pains me to say, my favorite player in the NBA, Dwayne Wade, is out for the year with a fractured wrist. He's been so bad since All-Star break. It's bizarre. You'd think after the All-Star break, he would have been well-rested, but he's been abysmal since All-Star break. And now he's out for the year, and good riddance. Man, it's painful, just painful. Man, seeing him in a Bulls uniform, just a disastrous year all around for him, quite honestly. So for the Bulls, obviously Jimmy Butler gets a big usage bump, but if you've been, you know, paying attention to anything NBA-related or watch the Bulls game, you know that he's been – perplexing, to say the least, lately. Just not – doesn't look interested. Hasn't given you a lot of effort. Not taking a lot of shots. It's very bizarre. So I don't know if he's dealing with a heel injury. He's still hurt. But all the shots in the world are going to be there for Jimmy Butler now. Rondo will also see an uptick in usage. They jacked up his price on DraftKings now, so he's super expensive on DraftKings. I think on FanDuel his price is still relatively pretty fair. So he's probably a very safe cash game play on FanDuel. And then who's going to start for Wade? I'm not sure yet. I think it's probably going to be Valentine or hashtag Zipline, Paul Zipser. So both those guys are going to be intriguing. I mean, if you watch Valentine play, he has no conscience. He jacks up shots. And the Bulls do want him to be a part. That's one reason why they did trade McDermott. They wanted to give Valentine more run. So Valentine's going to be, I don't know if he's going to be a cash game play yet, but he's going to be a good tournament play. Is he going to win someone a GPP this year? Yep, he will. That guy's a gunner. John Wall is the other big name on this slate. So he's questionable with a foot sprain. So if he's out, Brandon Jennings becomes super chalk. And for cash games, just lock and load Brandon Jennings in there. Bradley Beal sees like a 2.5% usage rate bump without Wall. Beal can also handle a lot of the point. So I wouldn't be surprised if they play Beal a little bit at backup point guard as well. Wesley Matthews is dealing with a calf sprain. He's questionable. Another big name, Isaiah Thomas, is going to be out with a right knee bone bruise. So, man, Rozier for Boston, maybe. Jaylen Brown becomes super intriguing to me. Avery Bradley. And remember, Isaiah Thomas has one of the highest usage rates in the NBA. It's like 32% or something, like something crazy. So that opens up tons of shots for everyone. Every Boston guy is going to be in play on the slate. Guys like Al Horford, who are already underpriced, are going to get some more shots. Obviously, Avery Bradley, even a Jay Crowder. And then you have whoever starts for him and a lot of those bums, like a Terry Rozier. And I really do like a Jaylen Brown. And Marcus Smart, obviously, as well, is going to – I mean, really, all the Boston guys. The problem is we need to figure out what the pricing is. Because I think DraftKings already jacked up the price on some of the Boston guys. And that's about it for injury news. All right, let's take a little quick trip to Vegas, shall we? Spring break's over. Spring break is over. Now we are back in Las Vegas. You know what? I'm sick of Vegas. Let's go to Jersey. Because the people whoever wrote that review made fun of Jersey and Hoboken. Which, by the way, Hoboken does have gorgeous girls there. I mean, man, there's a lot of single hot girls in Hoboken. It's just if you live in New York City, though, it is hard to get there. But let's go to Atlantic City, right? Let's go to Atlantic City. We always go to Vegas. Let's do a little detour. You know, we take a little train to Atlantic City. It's like a 2-hour bus ride for the judge from New York City. I didn't know they have a train to go there. It's actually really hard to get to Atlantic City, which sucks. You have to take. I remember last time I went there was a couple years ago. I had to take I had to take buses and trains. I had to do a bunch of different things. It was a big, big pain in the you know what. Should have rented a car. Anyway, in terms of over-unders on this slate, Houston Pelicans, 227. Houston's only a 4-point favorite. Surprising. So that's a lot of fantasy gold there. The next game, just please sit down because I know you're going to want to throw up. It's Orlando again. I mean, they just freaking Orlando. At Phoenix, a 220 over-under. And this game should be close. Phoenix is favored by 3. So God forbid we're going to play these Orlando guys again. And now Phoenix without Bledsoe. We'll see what Tyler Ulis' price is. But all the Phoenix guys, I mean, Booker sees a big bump in usage now. Warren and Chris, a big Sauce Williams, all those guys for Phoenix, man. So that's a great game you can stack. Just fantasy gold there. And then Orlando, it's probably going to be tournaments only, but at Fournier and Ross and Payton, Aaron Gordon, those guys are still so cheap. And Vucevic as well. Ugh, it's frustrating to play the Orlando guys. Boston at Brooklyn. So Boston's only favored by 9. Without Isaiah Thomas, yeah, that's a remember, Brooklyn plays the fastest pace in the league. So another great game you can attack. So 3 really good games off the bat. You got Bucks at Lakers, 213 over under. Man, the Lakers don't defend anyone. Also, we can do a whole podcast on D'Angelo Russell. I've been trying to read as much as I can lately. I'm figuring out what the hell is going on with the Lakers situation and why they really benched him. Like, I still think it was like that. If you remember a couple, like last week or whenever it was, I tweeted out that play where it was like 30 seconds left. Lakers were down 1 and he, like, out of a timeout, he must not have been paying attention in the timeout because he didn't remember what play was called. And he didn't remember there was only 5 seconds on the shot clock. Just super bizarre. And then now he's being benched. Now, clearly, if the number 2 draft pick, you think he's going to be a part of your future, why would you mess with his head like that? So psychologically. And he's been his 2 games coming off the bench so far, he's been a disaster. He fouled out last game and he had more turnovers than fouls. He had like 7 turnovers last game. So, I'm not sure what the Lakers are thinking with D'Angelo Russell. Are they just going to trade him in the offseason? And then if you wanted to trade him, you're hurting his trade value too by putting him off the bench. It's just super bizarre. Lots of guys in that game are going to be in play for both teams. Lakers, you know, right now Clarkson's getting tons of minutes. Ingram and Randall, tons of minutes. And then Russell's still a tournament play. He's still getting minutes. And then Zubac as well. Probably tournaments only for Zubac. Then you got a couple games that are nasty. You have Minnesota, Miami, 206 over under. Although for Minnesota, we know Rubio and Towns have been just unbelievable the last few weeks. And for Miami, Whiteside's been really good. Dragic was good last game. So it's a game you don't have to just cross off. Dallas, Philly. Nerlens Noel going back to Philly. That's intriguing. You wonder if Rick Carlisle will let Nerlens Noel play a lot of minutes. That would be a fun game to play into Nerlens Noel. He's got to want to just kill those guys. And can you imagine Nerlens Noel getting to go against Okafor, the worst defender, worst defensive center in the league? So it's intriguing. Otherwise, do I need anyone from that game? Not really. Although Covington and Saric for Philly have been great. And then the one game who you can just, if you want to cross this game off, go ahead. Toronto, Detroit. Obviously for GPPs, is someone going to go nuts in this game? Of course someone will. It's probably going to be like a freaking KCP or a Marcus Morris or Tobias Harris, a sleepy Drummond for Toronto. Is DeMar DeRozan finally going to wake up? I don't know. But for cash games, you can fade that game and feel good about it. Teams playing up in pace. Boston, way up in pace against Brooklyn, man. Just significantly up in pace. So all those guys are in elite spots without Isaiah Thomas. It's going to be very intriguing to figure out which Boston guys to play. Orlando, way up in pace against Phoenix. The Pelicans, way up in pace against Houston. And the Bucks, way up in pace against the Lakers. So 4 teams that, in my opinion, are underpriced on this slate because they're going to get extra possessions. All right, let's hop into the plays. Hop into the plays at each position. So point guard, John Wall is questionable, so we don't know if he's playing. If he does play, he's probably going to be somewhat underowned because no one likes to play anyone who has that, that scary questionable tag. He's still overpriced, though, but he does get Rondo defense. So if he plays, elite play. Then after that, man, point guard, this is the first time I can remember 8-game slate where there's no elite point guard. None, because Isaiah's out, Lowry's out, Westbrook's not playing on this slate. There's no Chris Paul, even though Chris Paul's not even been elite. So the highest priced guy could be Goran freaking Dragic against Minnesota. It's a nice little game stack. You have a lineup with Dragic and Rubio. That would be fun. Am I going to do Dragic in cash games? I will not. I know he's coming off a great game, but I'm not going to chase those points. That was about as well as he could have played, and that was 45 FanDuel points. So he needs to get you like 40. So he's fine. I'm not super excited to play him. Ricky Rubio, give me Rubio right now over Dragic. He's been so consistently good. And the scary thing is he's scoring actual points. He only had 7 assists last game, but he's had 3 straight games over 20 actual points. I'm not sure how that's even possible, but it is. So Dragic is a sneaky good defender, and also Miami has other good guards they can put on him, like Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson, who are good defenders. But right now, Rubio's safe for all formats. He's been excellent lately. Man, sorry, I need a drink. I feel like I've been talking like super fast so far on the show. I don't know if that's the case or not. Man, I'm also drinking a low-calorie orange Gatorade, which is pretty good, by the way. So Drew Holiday, 7.3K. Against Houston, tournaments only for me. I won't touch him in cash games right now with his usage is just plummeting down with Cousins and Anthony Davis. But if you play him, you hope he gets a lot of assists. The way up in pace, game stays close. You know, Patrick Beverley defense, you know, it worries a lot of people. So tournaments only. But it's, you know, whatever. It's fine. Alfred Payton, 7.2K. He was the one Orlando guy who I thought did play well. He only played 22 minutes against Golden State on Thursday. He had 25 FanDuel points, man. He had 13 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. And he was on his way to putting up a big line. So just no one else from Orlando showed up. Now he gets Phoenix. He gets like 3'7" Tyler Ulis. So Alfred Payton, to me, elite tournament play. Do you want to do it in cash? Probably not Orlando guys in cash, but he's been good. So the good thing about Russell coming off the bench is his price is because went down to 6.1K, coming off 7 FanDuel points against Houston. You know, the last came coming off the bench, I still have been unable to. I listen to the one podcast I listen to every day is Mason in Ireland, which is a podcast that's based in LA, and I think Ireland's the voice of the Lakers in terms of the radio. But he was unable to really shed any light on why they're really benching Russell, which I thought was disappointing. But tournaments only. The Bucks also are a tough team to attack at the point guard position, so not the ideal spot for Russell. But if he does get minutes, he still is going to jack up shots, so he'll be under-owned. And people hate in tournaments. People hate playing guys coming off the bench. So I think he's a sneaky tournament play. Jeremy Lin, I'm worried about the minutes. So he played this the most minutes he's played maybe all freaking year. He played 30 minutes against the Knicks. He had 30 FanDuel points on Thursday. So if they sat him out, I wouldn't be surprised. Just keep an eye on the news. If he plays, he's fine. Although it worries me a little bit going – I mean, he's going to get like Marcus Smart defense and maybe Avery Bradley defense. So not of the best spot in the world for him. If Isaiah Thomas was playing, he would have been an elite play for me. Rondo's 5.8K. So on DraftKings, I know he's much more than that. Let me see. On DraftKings, he is 6.5K. Yeah, so that's expensive. You know, the FanDuel, I still think it's fine for cash games. I really do. And the Bulls, they are still fighting for a playoff spot. 40 and 36 FanDuel points the last two games in 35 minutes. So to me, I really do think he's safe for all formats. And John Wall is a sneaky good defender. So if John Wall is out and he gets like Brandon Jennings defense, safe for all formats. It really is. Jordan Clarkson. Man, so he's 39, 33, 34, 35, 34 minutes the last like 5 games. And he's been like his floor right now is like 25 FanDuel points. I don't like attacking the Bucks, but right now, for whatever reason, I've heard one theory is their Lakers want to see if Clarkson can be a point guard. They're not a fan of Russell being a point guard. And they also don't think Russell and Clarkson can play together. So now they're giving Jordan Clarkson a shot at being point guard. Is that true? I don't know. But either way, he's getting a lot of minutes, and at 5.6K, he's in play. The thing is, there's just guys I prefer better, right? We'll get to two guys I like better, in a couple seconds. So he's fine. Tournaments definitely can do it, but just against the Bucks, it's just the game. I'm not a huge fan of him because of the game, but the minutes are great. Fine for tournaments. And if you want to do cash games, I think it's okay. Tyler Ulis, though. See, this guy, I think it's just too good to pass up right now. 5.4K. It's almost a lock and load in my cash games for this slate. Like, point guard, this is the one slate. Point guard's not elite. So, especially if John Wall's out, just give me Ulis and Brandon Jennings and let me move on for cash games at least. But honestly, those guys could be in your tournament lineup as well, and you can differentiate it at other spots because they're both going to be pretty chalky. But Ulis, he's 5.4K. Let me see what his price is on DraftKings. So it's 5.7 on DraftKings. So fair price on both of those. I mean, if last game is any indication of what's going to happen, he got 39 minutes, and he jacked up like 16 shots. He also had 13 assists, 2 steals, and 39 Fanduel points. So if he's making his shots, he has 50 Fanduel point potential. So, yeah, to me, just right now, and he gets Elfrid Payton defense. But Elfrid Payton is, you know, not a good defender. So great play. But remember this. Everyone also will know that Ulis and probably Brandon Jennings are going to be chalk plays and great plays, right? What always happens to chalk plays? They always let us down, it seems like, right? Who let us down on Thursday? Who was the most chalky guy in the world? Mo Spates and Hernan Gomez. Now, at least we know Ulis is not going to get 15 minutes like no Spates. But remember, it's still Tyler Ulis. So having like 100% exposure, that might not be the best route to go, especially in tournaments. But for cash games, to me, it's too good to pass up. Brogdon against the Lakers, that's an intriguing play. That's a nice little pivot off of Tyler Ulis, off of Brandon Jennings in tournaments. Brogdon started last game, I think, for Dellavedova. So if he's going to start against the Lakers, he could put up a monster line. So it's sneaky. I like that play. Also like Reggie Jackson for tournaments still. I really do. He's down to 4.9K, so he's dirt cheap. It's obviously risky. That's why he's priced like that. But in tournaments, you are playing. You want, remember, you need low. You got need guys that are low owned and need to be willing to take risks. So if I have 10 lineups, I'll play one or two with Reggie Jackson for sure. Corey Joseph is also down here, 4.8K. So there's there's tons of nice value guys. If you need to differentiate from Ulis and Jennings. Speaking of Jennings, he's 4.4K, and if John Wall's out, it's just a lock and load, in my opinion, for cash games. All right, shooting guard. Cheeto faced James Harden's 11.8K. You know, well, the thing is on this slate, right, the slate dictates what we do. So we're not spending up in point guard for the most part. There's no one to spend up on. So I have a lot of extra money. Harden has not been hitting value. He's been stuffing his face with extra Cheetos lately. But on this slate, just because of the way everything seems to be going right now, and this game should stay close, he's fitting in my cash game. I haven't played him in cash in a while. But, you know, could he still go off for 60, 70, 80 Fanduel points? Sure. Also, Houston has been blowing everyone out. So if this game can stay close, he's going to put up a big number. Giannis against the Lakers. Everyone likes to attack the Lakers. So it's not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to think that he's on this slate. He's a good play. I think he's still overpriced. But yeah, it's totally fine. And again, because of the value of point guard, you can afford all of these guys. DeMar DeRozan, no one's going to play him. No one wants to play him. And I don't blame you. So for that reason alone, in tournaments, I'll play him just because the usage is still there. Toronto keeps getting blown out. And this is a disgusting game, this Toronto-Detroit game. But, you know, if the game stays close, he's jacking up 30, 40, 30, 35 shots. It could happen. So I'll play him in like one lineup. Bradley Beal. So they up Beal's price, 8.5K on FanDuel. That's expensive, man. Woo-wee. Wow, that sounded like Rusty Walker, our NASCAR expert. Woo-wee. So, I mean, so he's got to give you like 45 FanDuel points with that. He's only done that like twice in the last 10 games, as good as he's been. I still think it's a fair price. I'm not sure who the hell is going to guard him for the Bulls. I mean, I get maybe the Bulls put Jimmy Butler on Bradley Beal though, especially if Wall's out. I could definitely see them doing that. So that's expensive, man. I'm not a huge fan of Beal on this slate. Although if Wall's out, he only sees like a 2.5% usage bump. So he's not an elite play at that price. He's a good play though. I will definitely have some exposure. Devin Booker, I like me some Booker over Beal because he's 1.56K cheaper. And without Bledsoe, his usage goes up. He took 26 shots last game. 26 freaking shots. He only made six. And, you know, I think he started the game. I forgot what it was. It was like 4 for 5, and then I think he went like 1 for 22 or something. Just horrendous. The last like three quarters of that game. But you know, he also played 40 minutes, so he's going to get all the minutes and all the usage. So I like Devin Booker. Waiters Island, Deion Waiters. If he's in the winning GPP lineup, which he could be, fine. I won't play a ton of him. I'll probably play him in one lineup. Avery Bradley. Oh, they jacked up his price. That was smart. So FanDuel also jacked up Marcus Smart. Jesus, man, what are the prices on? Avery Bradley is 6K on DraftKings, but 6.4K on FanDuel, and Marcus Smart is 4.9K on DraftKings, but 6.3K on FanDuel. What the hell is FanDuel doing? Normally, DraftKings is the one that jacks up the prices. Wow. So both those guys are great plays on DraftKings. On FanDuel, man, that's expensive. Ugh. Wow. I mean, I guess Avery Bradley is still okay for cash games at that price. But that's cutting it close. Not a lot of upside. Marcus Smart, probably a tournament only play for me on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's almost a lock and load at that price. Man, like the FanDuel, that's pretty amazing. So maybe the Boston guys, I'll have to look somewhere else. I mean, maybe I'll have to look to a guy like Jaylen Brown, who's still 3.7K on FanDuel. Or I didn't even mention Terry Rozier, who's 4.1K on FanDuel. So maybe we look to those two guys as cheapies instead of Bradley and Smart. Other than that, Seth Curry, nah. I mean, whatever. I just 5.6K. He's boring. I don't love that play. He's been bad lately too. Oh God, Evan Fournier. I'm just so sick of playing him. 5.5K. I have nothing new to say about him. Nothing new to say. What else could he say? And honestly, I don't even know. Is he good enough to be at Magic Mountain? Because to be at Magic Mountain, you occasionally got to have a big monster game, right? To put you on the roller coasters. So I don't even know if he can be there. Like, where's the upside right now with him? I think it's still going to happen at some point. But right now, I don't even know if he can be at Magic Mountain right now. Oh, it's frustrating. LeVert, 4.4K. He's still fine at that price, man. He wasn't great on against the Knicks, but he had 20 FanDuel points in 25 minutes. KCP, wow. Man, the Pistons guys' prices are dropping so fast. KCP is 4.4K. He was like over 6K for a large chunk of the season. He was putting up like 40, 50 FanDuel points. What the hell is going on with Detroit? Man, if that game just stays close, he's going to get 35 minutes. So I will play some KCP at that price. Dear God, that's amazing. Pistons, jeer. Norman Powell is also in play. There's a lot of value on this slate. I mean, yeah. See, the more and more you think about it, that's why you got to play Cheeto Face, probably. There's just so much value everywhere. Well, I mean, if you keep spending on all these cheapies, who are you going to spend up on? Tin Man Anthony Davis? Small forward, Jimmy Butler. Wow, this is a weird slate. No LeBron, no Kawhi. So there's not a lot of stars on this slate, man. For an eight-game slate, this is crazy. I love this. This makes it more fun. So Jimmy Butler, 8.7K. I'm probably going to play a ton of Jimmy Butler on this slate. One, because look at all the value. We have money to spend without Wade. You know, if he doesn't come to life now, when's he going to come to life? Now, he's been bad. I'm hoping that's going to keep his ownership down. So Otto Porter's not that good of a defender. I know some people will probably say he will. I'll probably get a tweet from trolls, but he's not. So Jimmy Butler, to me, at that price is fine for all formats. But with the caveat, if you don't want to play him, I get it. Because if you've been watching the Bulls play, and I have been, he looks disinterested, not aggressive, which is bizarre. But without Wade, if he's not aggressive, I don't know what to tell you. I also forgot to mention freaking another value guy at shooting guard, and that's Valentine, who's 3.7 freaking K. And if he's starting, elite tournament play. He had 26 FanDuel points last game with Wade. Man, this slate is – I mean, there's the number of value guys is crazy. Covington, 7.1K. To me, Covington and Sarge at this point, safe for all formats any day of the freaking week. Those guys do everything. I love Covington because he's not a one-trick pony. Even if he has a bad shooting night, he can salvage it. Now, the captain of the Magic Mountain team, Andrew Wiggins, 7.1K. The price, very fair. I'm going to go to Magic Mountain on this trip. By the way, let's get to the most important part of the podcast. You guys got to help me. So when we talk about Magic Mountain guys, if you're new to the show, it basically means players who are inconsistent. They're a roller coaster, right? They go up and they're down. They have good games and they have bad games. It's very hard to predict. But for a visual, if we're at Magic Mountain, and the way that I visualize it is me and the bailiff, we're waiting in line with all these players. And George Hill is there. He's the chaperone because he's also at Magic Mountain. But he's too old and mature and sophisticated to go on the rides. Maybe Serge Ibaka's there as well. He seems like he's sophisticated as well. He wouldn't go on the rides either. But so this is the options. I was Googling the top rides at Magic Mountain. And also then I was doing the POV views of going on the rides. And it's awesome. So here we go. I've been on none of these except just via YouTube. So maybe you guys can shed some better light. Also, I'm old now, so I don't know what you young kids like these days. All right, so there's something called Twisted Colossus. There's something called Goliath, a ride called X2, a ride called Tatsu, which means the flying beast in Japanese, a ride called the New Revolution. That sounds like a band to me. What the hell? That's a horrible name for a ride. Whoever came up with that, I object to that. Whoever came up with that name for a ride, that's the worst name ever. The New Revolution. What is that about? So I'm crossing that off. Full Throttle, a ride that I think is really cool called Riddler's Revenge. Now this one was cool because it's a stand-up ride. So you know this could be make sense to me because a lot of the Magic Mountain guys are lazy. They're too lazy to even sit down. They just want they don't bend their knees on defense. So maybe we do the Riddler's Revenge where you got to stand up for the ride anyway. These lazy bums. These Magic Mountain guys. That was a fun ride. And then another ride I like called Viper. So that's it. That's the list. Twisted Colossus, Goliath, X2, Tatsu, Full Throttle, Riddler's Revenge, or Viper. Let me know if you've ever been on any of those. Which ride should everyone at Magic Mountain be on? Which leads me to Andrew Wiggins again. I'm playing him on this slate, guys. Gosh darn it. He's going to help me take down a tournament. And I want some exposure. And this slate, there's some slates – you don't play him because of opportunity cost, right? I don't see it on this slate. If he puts up – even if he only gives me like 35 fandom points, that could be enough. And he's due to have a big game. He really is. He's still playing like 39 minutes a night for gosh darn it. So it's going to happen one night. So I like him for tournaments. Not cash games. Okay, crazy. Middleton, since his price is jacked up, he has not been coming through. He's fine for cash but not a great tournament play. But against the Lakers – yeah, if you're a tournament player, I would have a nice buck stack, with a Giannis, Middleton, and maybe even a Brogdon or a Monroe, and then on the other side, put a couple Lakers, play a Clarkson and a Randall, because you can attack Bucks bigs. T.J. Warren, so his price went up to 6.3K. I played him every day since All Star break. He's won me money almost every night except I think one that I can remember. Just the minutes and usage are there. Bledsoe being out helps him a lot, so I love him, 6.3K. Harrison Barnes, he's a guy you play if you get a lot of news late, you panic, you don't know what to do in life, you're in like a very boring marriage where you're just having missionary lovemaking, you play some Harrison Barnes. Jay Crowder. So Crowder's price didn't go up, so he's still super safe cash game play. Last game sucked, but to me against Brooklyn, it's fine for cash. The problem is right now, there's so much value on the board. He used to be a lock and load for me at that price in cash games. Not in this slate. There's other guys who are cheaper that I like better. Trevor Ariza, tournaments only. Even the last game, I finally came through against the Lakers. Brandon Ingram. I prefer Ingram to Crowder. He's cheaper, and he's playing 40 minutes a night. So he doesn't have to do much to hit value. And he has actually looked better. He's actually taking some shots. I think Russell being out of the lineup is helping him. Russell being out of the starting lineup because Russell had like a 30% usage rate. So Clarkson's doing a better job maybe of getting Ingram involved in the offense. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they bench Russell as well. They want Ingram to get some more shots. Hollis Jefferson, to me at that price, he's still fine, 4.4K. He had 33. He was great, 33 fandom points on Thursday. He's great. Every time I watch him play, he's great, it seems like. Terrence Ross, tournaments only, Magic Mountain guy. The last, six games. It's been that while. So it's been six freaking games in a row and he's been bad. But you know, before that he had like three games in a row, three out of four where he was above 30 Fando points. But he's been bad. I don't know what, there's nothing I can say new about him either. Just if you play him, you pray, you make some freaking shots. Jaylen Brown, to me, he becomes a great play on the slate. I mean, the Celtics love him anyway. They're trying to get him extra minutes. So without Isaiah Thomas, yeah. I think safe for all formats. I really do. All right, power forward. The Tin Man, Anthony Davis. I will not trust it for cash. 11.2K. He's been good since Cousins has been back. He has like a floor of 50 fandom points. The thing is, on this slate against Houston, you know, we saw fat Julius Randle destroy Ryan Anderson. That's just a tough matchup. There's no one for Houston that can defend Anthony Davis. So he's primed to have a big night. It's going to be tournaments only for me, but I'll play him. And the thing is, on this slate, even if he only gets you like 50 or 60, I mean, how many guys can do that on this slate? Not a lot. Because of not, you know, there's not a lot of the superstars. So he's a good tournament play. Dario Saric. Yeah. Him and Covington, man. Saric has been giving you 46 fandom points last two games. He's been so good. Dallas, not the best matchup in the world. I'm not sure if Dirk's going to be defending him. That makes me love Saric more. Also, I'm going to have to play some Okafor probably because if Dirk is playing the five, I immediately will play the other team center. If Carlisle was kind, he would start Nerlens Noel, so Nerlens Noel could destroy his former team. And also, it just makes sense because why would you ever play Dirk at the five? It's the dumbest thing I could. It's mind boggling. If you guys watch the Dallas game, watch Dirk at the five. He can't move anymore. He can't freaking move. It makes no sense. Anyway, Sarge, safe for all formats. Julius Randle, yeah, you can attack Bucks bigs. If there's one Lakers that I like the most on this slate, it's probably Julius Randle. So safe for all formats to me. Even though if you don't want to do it in cash, I get it because it's still Lakers and they're doing weird things. Serge Ibaka, he's at Magic Mountain. He could be a chaperone though. I tried to play him a little bit on Thursday. That did not work out well. That's three straight games under 20 fandom points. And just very disappointing. And now this Toronto-Detroit game is going to be just a mess. Aaron Gordon. I said it yesterday. He's in same thing. Now, again, he played up in pace against Golden State, and he had 10 Fando points. They got blown out. Now he gets up in pace again against Phoenix. But he's not going to have Draymond Green on Friday. He's going to have Marquise Chris. So Aaron Gordon's a good play. But Orlando, God. Marquise Chris. Yeah, I'm stubborn, so I'm gonna have a mini stack of this Orlando Phoenix game, and I'm gonna play Booker, Chris, and Warren, maybe even a Ulis, and I'll stack it with Orlando guys as well with Fournier and Payton and Gordon or Ross and Marquise Chris 4.8K, very fair price. He was great last game, 32 minutes, 39 Fando points. I mean Phoenix. Allegedly is going to let all the young guys get all the minutes right now, which is fantastic for DFS purposes. Other than that, Ryan Anderson, he's on the road, so he's a good better. He's better shooter on the road, so he's in play at tournaments. Rashawn Holmes for Philly. He should be – he's been good three straight games. Really, he's been somewhat consistent with – he's been a cash game play now for last couple of weeks at that price, and he's got some upside. The only problem is Coach Brown is stubborn and plays Okafor when he shouldn't because Okafor is the worst player in the NBA. If Okafor ends up getting in foul trouble or something like that, Holmes goes nuts. Mirotić, tournaments for the Bulls. He's intriguing now because the Bulls, you know, he's played 28 minutes the last two games. He's jacked up a lot of shots. He's also one of the worst defenders in the league, so that's why it's hard to play him. But tournaments, yeah. All right, center. Towns at 10.6K. So I love to attack Whiteside, and he's been so good lately that, yeah, I mean, if I play Towns, I normally put him with Rubio, and that's been a killer combination lately. So on this slate, the pace of this Miami game, not great, but Towns should be able to feast. Cousins is 1.2K cheaper than Towns, and he gets Houston. It's an elite matchup. Like I at some point, you think Cousins is going to have a monster game, right? He keeps getting in foul trouble. he's such an idiot on the court. How can he have no basketball IQ? He's been in the league, what, like 8 years? He keeps committing the dumbest fouls since he's been traded to the Pelicans. It's been really bizarre. He's in foul trouble every freaking game. So he's cheap. I love the matchup. I won't do it in cash games, but tournaments, yeah, absolutely. Whiteside, 8.7K. You know, Whiteside's been good. Whiteside, he did better than Cousins. He got Cousins in foul trouble last game. So, you know, if I had to rank the centers, I mean, I would go Towns, Cousins, Whiteside. But if you want to play Whiteside, and also Towns is not a good on-ball defender. And Whiteside's 2K cheaper than Towns. So, Whiteside's perfectly fine at this point. And he's been so good lately. If you want to use Whiteside in cash games now to save some money, it's fine. Yeah, he's been that good. He's been that consistent lately. Vucevic, tournament only for me with Vucevic, but he gets Phoenix. And he's really skilled offensively, as you know, and he's a great tournament play. I think he might be a little bit overlooked on this slate because a lot of people are going to be on Towns, Cousins, Whiteside. I like Vucevic. Drummond, he'll be less than 8% owned, maybe 5% owned. He's been abysmal. Him and Rudy Gobert are the two centers that are really low owned. Unlike Rudy Gobert, though, Drummond is still sleeping. Rudy Gobert wakes up and has monster games. So, tournaments only. If Toronto plays Ibaka at the five, Drummond's in, you know, could be able to get a lot of rebounds. Brooke Lopez against Boston, you attack Boston big, so he'll be overlooked, underowned. But a back-to-back, the minutes aren't there. I like other guys better. Al Horford, I don't mind Al Horford on this slate. I don't. Center's loaded. I like so many centers. Horford's coming off of 46 Vanda points against Minnesota. Towns is not a good defender. So Whiteside, who gets Towns, could smash him. Although I do think Towns is too quick on the perimeter for Whiteside. But Horford's fine. Without Isaiah Thomas, he's going to see extra usage against Brooklyn. Yeah, I'm fine with that play. Nerlens Noel is 6K, so he's not cheap. And it's tournaments only. If you know, the minutes just haven't been there yet, so it's hard to play him. If he gets the start, I think he will destroy his former team, though. Big Sauce Williams for Phoenix. Man, center is loaded. Every center I like so far. He's been a cash game staple the last couple weeks, and his price isn't going up. It's 5.8K. So if you're spending up, you know, and getting Harden and Jimmy Butler and Anthony Davis, you want to use Williams for cash games, it's fine because he's suitable for all formats right now. So I don't feel the need to go a lot cheaper than that. I mean, I guess Okafor, just because if Dirk is playing the five, and Okafor is still pretty good offensively. He's, you know, he's two games in a row over 30 Fando points. He stinks defensively, but you know, DFS, you don't lose points in DFS for a bad defense. You know, Capella, Gortat, Bismack. I don't know why I said Bismack's name. Robin Lopez. I guess Zubac, I'll still mention him, 4.1K. You can attack Bucks bigs coming off a disastrous 5-point night against Houston. But he had 40 the night before that. So, you know, he got in foul trouble. If he gets minutes, why not? So, yeah, tournament play, you could do Zubac. Man, center. Center is the best position out of all. So on DraftKings, I'll be playing like two or three centers depending on position eligibility. All right, that's it. That's the slate. Man, fun slate. We got through it. Man, my voice is super hoarse. I am exhausted. Woo, I feel like it was a long show. All right, hopefully you made some money on Thursday. You made it to the weekend, so congrats. Have any questions, feel free to tweet at me, at DanielAGreen1. Remember, please rate, subscribe to the podcast, and rate and write a review. Write a glorious, nice little review for the judge and give him 5 stars. That means a lot to me. And also, when I tweet out the link, please retweet it out. That's it. That's the show, man. So have a good weekend, guys. For the bailiff, for the judge, court is adjourned.